We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get inside into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Mountaineer Insider Podcast on the air. Appreciate you being with us. Dan Zangrilli in the air chair. A lot of basketball we're going to be talking about. Also, a little Big 12 football coming up on the pod today. A lot of it's going to be centered around Texas. Obviously, they are coming to town for a doubleheader on the men's and women's basketball front. Top 25 showdown we have for you is the Longhorns under Shaka Smart are flying high off of their terrific road victory. Handing Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks at Fog Allen Fieldhouse their largest margin of defeat. For a guy that was on the hot seat, perhaps saved by the pandemic, Shaka Smart has the Longhorns, with everybody essentially coming back on the Horns squad, really flying high and in a very good spot as a top 10 team. On the women's front, we'll ask Kirk Bowles a couple of questions about them. They're under the direction of a new head coach, Vic Schaefer, formerly of Mississippi State. So that's still to come, plus the eventful week that it's been in Austin. They have fired Tom Herman, as you all know by now. It was national news, and a lot of it has been made of it on New Year's Day. That sort of grabbed the headlines and took all the headlines away from that top 10 victory that the Longhorns were able to secure at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, occurring on the same day. We'll discuss how all of that went down, but going to largely center on what's occurring, however, at the Coliseum on Saturday afternoon. A massive game for West Virginia. Without Oscar Tshiebwe now, turning the page from him, West Virginia is 1-1. The disappointing showing in Norman, but then a couple of days later, West Virginia digging themselves a big hole, unable to come back from that 18-point deficit at Oklahoma. They find themselves down by 19, as you know, and they're able to come back in one of the great comeback games in recent West Virginia history against the Cowboys. So what sort of momentum will that provide West Virginia? But largely looking at the scouting report on Texas, and Kirk Bowles, of course, the longtime columnist, has been covering the Longhorns since the early 1970s, first as a beat writer, then as a columnist for the Austin American-Statesman. he gives us a look into what is happening down at UT. So that's the perspective that we want to take here on this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, getting a look at Texas and, of course, in Big 12 news and headlines, how it all transpired and unfolded from, I think, the foremost guy as it pertains to not only the Longhorns, but he's just a venerable Big 12 voice. I'm always interested in having Kirk Bowles on the program, and any time that we can spend a few moments with him, I think we're better off for it. So thanks for joining us on this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider. Looking forward to the doubleheader on Saturday afternoon and evening at the WVU Coliseum. So stand by for Kirk, who's directly ahead after these words from our friends at Coca-Cola.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining and an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to, and it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola, together tastes better.
What's this week been like for you, Kirk, here from a coverage standpoint and in recent Texas history? Because it's been eventful.
Yes, as I've told other people, drama does not take a day off in Austin, Texas. Yeah, and I'm trying to track down this rumor that college basketball season has started. You know, I joke about that, but the big announcement that they fired Tom Herman and hired Steve Sarkisian comes the day of the Texas-Kansas game. And then Texas blows out Kansas in Fog Allen, the pinnacle of Shaka Smart's 6 years here. And he's got to deal with this, you know, all these stories about the football coach, which, as you can guess, you know, takes preeminence over anything related to basketball. So, yeah, there's no shortage of drama and turmoil and headlines, and so you got to keep your hands busy. You got a lot of plates in the air.
It was fascinating to watch from afar. Of course, as a fellow member of the Big 12 Conference here in West Virginia, you know, on the buses traveling with some of the teams, it was the talk on the bus. It was like, oh my goodness, that they wind up getting rid of Tom Herman. Oh my goodness, did you see what Texas did at KU? So yeah, a lot of chatter in and around the conference, at least from the West Virginia standpoint. I can kind of confirm that to you, Kirk. So let's sort of peel this back one by one. I'll actually start with basketball here, because take us back to March and the strong finish that Texas had. I think when you and I last spoke last year, that there was maybe the coin flip of a chance that Shaka would return. So let me ask you, did the pandemic maybe save Shaka, or was he coming back regardless of how things unfolded at the Big 12 tournament, or if we did have a 2020 NCAA tourney?
Well, I'll say this. The pandemic certainly didn't save Tom Herman, but it was at the outset of the outbreak when basketball season, you know, came to a halt, and there was no clear indication that Texas was going to make the tournament. I mean, here's Shaka Smart at end of year five, had been in two tournaments in the first four, had yet to win an NCAA tournament game. So there was a lot of angst. Texas is moving into a new basketball arena, you know, in a year and a half, something like that. So it didn't hurt his cause that the pandemic was raising its head at that time, because, you know, he had a 5-game winning streak, and then he had a meltdown at home against a very average or below average Oklahoma State team. Then the feeling was they had to beat Texas Tech in the first round of the Big 12 tournament if they were going to survive, and Shaka was going to come back. And so that and the big buyout of over $10 million probably had a lot to do with saving Shaka Smart's job.
Well, your newspaper, reading the quote here from Chris Delcati, athletic director, at the time, this was March 27th, we won 5 of the last 6 down the stretch, finished 3rd in the conference. Nothing has changed on my end. Does Chris Delcati say that if the world isn't shutting down and if college athletics isn't turned upside down on its head? Say that they go 1-and-done at the Big 12 tournament. Does your newspaper get that quote on March 27th?
I'm going to guess no, if there's no pandemic again. Now, Texas had layoffs. They laid off 35 people. There were another 35 vacant positions that were terminated that they were not going to fill. They furloughed 11 people. So, you know, and some of the pay, some of the coaches took pay cuts, although it was later revealed that they would be delayed, those payments. So they weren't pay cuts, in fact, as much as deferred payments. So, yeah, he kind of survived by the skin of his teeth, you know, and there wasn't a sure thing. So I think the pandemic and the buyout had a lot to do with it. And clearly, Tom Herman wasn't safe, and Tom Herman only got 4 years. So, you know, and then Charlie Strong only got 3 years in football here. So there's a lot of dynamics at work. One thing, other thing that probably helped Shock is that he's a likable guy. He's not visible in the community. You don't see him out and about even before the pandemic, you know, raising interest and doing a whole lot of interviews and that sort of thing. But he's a likable guy that I think a lot of us in the media, you kind of root for. But the results up until this year, just hadn't been there.
Kirk Bowles, a longtime columnist, Austin American Statesman, our guest here on the Mountaineer Insider. So what's been the recipe for success here for Texas? This team is the real deal, obviously, when you go to Allen Fieldhouse and you hand Bill Self the pasting that you did last week. Catch everybody up to speed on what the elixir has been.
Well, the elixir has been he survived and he got his entire team back. And, you know, that's the recipe for success to me in college basketball today, is that if you have a veteran team with guards and they're loaded with guards and you play really strong defense, which is kind of Shaka Smart's calling card, you got a real chance. Now, I don't think anybody would look at this and go, oh, this is a super team. It's, you know, it's ranked fourth, which is the highest they've been in over a decade. And they gave Bill Self his worst loss on his home court ever. But this experience that they have, the backcourt that they have, it's a real recipe for success. And they showed that real early, Dan, with the Maui Invitational, you know, blowing out Indiana, barely getting by Davidson, and then beating North Carolina on the last second shot. So it's just, he's kind of been building to this. So it's by far Shaka Smart's best team here, and a really good team, and a team I think that has a chance to make some noise in the NCAA tournament.
How do you see it all playing out on Saturday? It's going to be a massive test coming up Saturday afternoon at the Coliseum.
Well, it's interesting because after they blew out Kansas, you know, they played the Iowa State Tuesday night, and we were all interested to see, you know, Iowa State kind of was limping in here, you know, 2-5 and 0-3 in the Big 12, and didn't have all their weapons either. So, and they didn't close like they wanted. They were in control the whole game, but then it ended up basically kind of holding them off. And that was kind of the trap game and a signal to them, like, okay, they've matured a little bit, even though they didn't blow them out, no fans in the arena. So the ambiance and electricity was lacking, but they were in control the whole game and had enough. And so they take every game serious. We talked to Shaka earlier in the week, Dan, and he was saying, you got to have an edge. Kansas beating Kansas does nothing for you against Iowa State if you fritter it away and don't build upon that. So he's kind of developing that mentality, and – you know, you've got veteran guards, and that's what drives college basketball. So I don't worry about them as much for laying an egg, because they would do that frequently, you know, in the previous 5 years.
What's the kryptonite, Kurt? Where are, I guess, if there are any deficiencies?
That's a good question. They've got a lot of depth. They had a couple players transfer, and Gerald Lydell, the swing guy, and Will Baker, a center from right here in Austin, Westlake. They have a couple more that are out for COVID-related reasons. But they were also, you know, backups and reserves. They're a freakishly athletic team. Jericho Sims is their center, and he can be a violent player, and he can really protect at the rim. Not a great shooter, but, you know, the thing is, I kind of always going back to shooting. They don't have that pure shooter that, okay, you got to have a bucket, you're going to get it. They've got a lot of parts. They don't have that one superstar. We can talk about Greg Brown, the freshman, if you want, but they don't have the guy that he's going to give you 20 every night. I was looking up at the stats, Dan, in the Big 12, the leading scorers in the Big 12. Texas has nobody in the top 12. Nobody. But Matt Coleman's 13th. He averages 13 plus a game. Courtney Ramey, another guard, 16th in the league, 13.3 a game. Andrew Jones, the junior who's overcome leukemia, is 13 point a game. So you can see it's the sum of its parts are greater than the whole. They don't have that one superstar, that one great pure shooter you have to account for if you're the other team.
Well, Greg Brown has the potential perhaps of evolving into that guy at day's end. Kirk, what sort of development have you seen from a guy who, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the news has changed here, this is one and done written all over it, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because if you look at the NBA projections, Dan, he's not a lottery pick. He looks like, I think right now, he's projected to go in the first two rounds, where there are only two rounds in the NBA. You can see all the elements there. He can jump out of the building. He's very versatile. He can play on the wing. He can play inside. And he's just starting to get more comfortable. And just like Mo Bamba before him and Jarrett Allen, who's starring for Brooklyn, you can see it starting to come together for Greg Brown. Sometimes he overplays, tries to do too much, like a lot of freshmen want to do, but he's trying to work his way into the system. Where, you know, and I think sometimes it's hard for guys. You're a one-man band in high school. You do everything, and everything comes easy to you. So he's being immersed into the culture here, and you can see him just getting better and better. He wasn't great at Kansas. Sometimes he wants it too much and too fast, but you can see the talent there.
The story of Andrew Jones, how much has that been a galvanizer for this locker room? Obviously, everybody around the country inspired about what he's been able to do and overcome. What is that doing inside the locker room? How important is that to what we're seeing on the court for Texas?
Well, he's such an inspiration story, a guy that's come back from leukemia and was playing last year while he was getting leukemia treatments, mm-hmm. You know. And anytime anybody complains in the locker room, all shocked and smart, just has to point to Andrew. Now, tell it to that guy, okay? You're tired at practice or travel or exams has you down. Just go talk to Andrew Jones. And so that's such a resource for them, and it's such an inspiration for the team, I think. And if you noticed, I don't know if you've seen him yet, Dan, but he's starting to feel back out in his body. Last year, he just seemed so frail, you know, with good reason, because he'd lost a lot of weight. But you can see him packing a little more meat on those bones now, and his confidence is coming back. He can shoot. He's probably their best pure shooter, and he can also, you know, attack the basket. So, yeah, there's no doubt that he's the inspiring role model on this team, and they kind of galvanized around him.
Before we turn the page here, I want to talk to you, obviously, about everything going on with football. Kirk Bowles, Austin American Statesman, longtime columnist, our guest here on the Mountaineer Insider. How do you see Saturday playing out? What do you think the significant keys are for the Longhorns if they're going to walk away from the Coliseum with a top 25 road win?
You know, it's funny because I haven't seen West Virginia play very much. I know they had the close loss to Gonzaga, which tells you a lot, and they don't play as well against Kansas or Oklahoma, and they beat Oklahoma State. So you can see the elements there and Bob Huggins' stamp on that team with the intensity is there. So, and Texas is a very good rebounding team. You know, they were, I think, plus 12 against Iowa State, which, you know, a lot of times went with four-guard lineup. So I look for a physical game. I look for intensity. And one thing we asked Andrew Jones about is they had a terrible loss against Iowa State last year, and then they redeemed themselves Tuesday night. We said, did you feel like you owed them something? And he said, we owe everybody, you know, and they had a bad loss at West Virginia that still sticks in their crawl too. So that's the thing I like about this team. They seem to bring it, you know, every game, because especially in this pandemic year, it's just such a luxury to get games because we're seeing them, you know, postponed and canceled and that sort of thing. So And they can play inside and out. They're not, it's not havoc. They're not pressing full court, but their defense has been very good. And as I said earlier, that's kind of been their calling card. I was looking at the stats. They rank third in the nation in the defense efficiency, but also 13th in offensive efficiency. So they're very balanced. And as I said, they may not have that one superstar they count on, but they've got a lot of offensive weapons, and which is real good because somebody else is having an off night. You know, Courtney Ramey can have a big night. He's having a bad night. Matt Campbell, the point guard, can have a big night. So they have a lot of places they can get points from.
Kirk Bowles, Austin American Statesman. You know, we talked last time we had you on the program. It was during football season in advance of West Virginia's trip to Austin. Tom Herman, obviously, on the hot seat. The chatter has been going on for a long time. So I can assume here, before we begin our conversation, that the Tom Herman being dismissed is not a shocker. But was it a shocker? Maybe the manner in which it happened and how everything unfolded. Kirk, give us, I guess, the tone, the tenor, and maybe the surprise, if any exists, about what went down.
Well, Texas didn't handle this with much glory or integrity, in my opinion. You know, once the regular season ended, they were 6-3. The final game against Kansas was canceled because of COVID. So it was, you know, 6-3, very nebulous record, not real attractive. And then Chris Del Conte, the AD, comes out with this statement saying he is our coach. We're looking forward, you know, moving ahead. And everybody kind of parsed the words in that, Dan. It's like, well, yeah, we know he's your coach. How long is he your coach? And it took private phone calls from Chris Del Conte to assure that, yeah, he's our coach for 2021. Who were we to second guess that? But then he was the coach in 2021 for maybe 10, 11 hours because he was told on the morning of January 1st. So I thought it was really ugly how they handled this because to me, you know, they misrepresented the situation to Tom Herman, to Tom Herman's assistants, to recruits who signed with Texas on the early signing date in mid-December. I think they misrepresented him to the media. So a lot in the media lost a lot of trust in this administration. If you wanted to fire him, there were plenty of reasons. I mean, 32-18, 1-4 against Oklahoma, 0 Big 12 championships, off the field stuff. The team didn't stand for the eyes of Texas for a long time. There were off the field stuff incidents with Tom Herman. He headbutts a player before the Baylor game to get him all excited. He shoots the bird at Longhorn Network cameras. There were enough incidents like that that made it seem he doesn't seem like our kind of coach at Texas. So most of the media didn't have any issues with them firing him. It's just more the timing and the fact that he did it 4 days after a blowout win in a bowl game, I think was more stunning than anything, Dan.
How about the choice for successor? Urban Meyer's name, of course, as we all know and we understand that Urban Meyer was actually in Austin and maybe there were some meetings there. So that was a real thing. Why didn't it go that direction? And Steve Sarkisian's name coming up and then his very quick appointment as the head coach after the announcement of Tom Herman being dismissed, that whole dynamic in and of itself took on its own life, didn't it?
It did, and the administration did nothing to stop it. Now, behind the scenes, they're saying, oh, that wasn't ever really going to happen. I go, you could have ended that with a phone call or a tweet, you know, and they did not. They allowed that to linger. So the fan base got all its hopes up. They're getting Urban Meyer. Now you get star Steve Sarkisian, who's not even a head coach, who has a very mediocre track record in 7 years at Southern Cal in Washington, who got fired for alcoholic behavior at USC in midseason. You know, so it left a bad taste with a lot of Texas fans thinking that they might get Urban Meyer. And I think the administration thought they might get Urban Meyer. But I think he's kind of made it clear he's not interested in a college job right now. Maybe he'll take the NFL job. There's a lot of rumors out there about that. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to want total control. But then you go back to Steve Sarkisian, besides the elements that I mentioned, is he Tom Herman 2.0? You know, Tom Herman had 2 years in Houston. He won 22 games and a couple bowl games in that time. But, you know, 2 years is not a long sample size. And then you look at Sarkisian, you know, in seven seasons at Washington and Southern Cal, he had one losing season. He had 3-7-6 seasons. You know, not a big track record of proven. So he is the flavor of the month. He is the hot name in the coaching ranks. And I think a lot of people celebrate that. And you go, well, look at his association with Alabama and Nick Saban. Tom Herman had the same with Urban Meyer, and that didn't work out. And so I think there are a lot of people just saying, okay, let's wait and see. They're obviously going to give Sark a chance and root for him to succeed. But, you know, Texas has been down so long since their last national title game appearance in 2009 that a lot of people have raised eyebrows on a daily basis around here. Mm.
Kirk Bowles, Austin American Statesman, with us. Want to swing back to the hardwood quickly. There's a doubleheader, big one for the West Virginia women coming up after the men play. The true doubleheaders, I don't think we get enough of those. That's just my personal opinion. They're kind of fun. But you've got a first-year head coach as well on the women's front in Vic Schaefer coming over from Mississippi State. Only four players are on the roster this year that were on the roster last year. So what's going on the women's side? I know that there's a lofty standard that they have to uphold as well.
There's a lot of expectations with good reason surrounding the women's team. Vic Schaefer, to me, may be a top five basketball coach on the women's side. You look at what he did at Mississippi State, been two back-to-back Final Fours. He knocked off UConn in the semifinals. He's a monster. He's a recruiting monster. You just look at what he's already done with this team. I mean, he's got them ranked in the top 15, top 14, you know, in the nation. And he had like two players coming back who had averaged more than 20 minutes, just two. And Charlie Collier, she's a budding star. She's their center, and he's just really improved her by light years. And a lot of the rest of the pieces, they have some good players, Joanne Taylor, Celeste Collier, but – you know, it's kind of a makeshift piecemeal type team because clearly it's not his team. He didn't get the job until June. So, but the sky is really the limit. That's the cliche you probably want to hang your hat on. You tell me right now that he's going to go to the Final Four or Elite Eight or Sweet 16 this year. I'll say, yeah, wow. I can see that. And I think it's going to be a Final Four team in a few years. They have to go up to contend with Baylor and Kim Mulkey in this league. But I'm just so impressed with the job he's done. He is, I'm not going to call him the Nick Saban of women's college basketball, but he's attentive to detail, and he doesn't tolerate sloppiness or not closing out games. And he wants the backups to play with the same intensity that the starters do. So I expect big things out of Vic Schaefer moving forward.
It's an intriguing matchup because West Virginia went to Mississippi State last year. The Bulldogs were a top 10 team. The Mountaineers got the big road top 10 victory against Vic Schaefer when he was there. So now he's in the Big 12 Conference and coming to the Coliseum as Shaka Smart and the men are for a massive matchup, a top 25 showdown, a busy Saturday at the Coliseum, and also very, very busy in the Lone Star State in the capital city. And Kirk Bowles is with us here, and we appreciate him for joining us. Kirk, thanks so much. Always enjoy catching up with you. All the best, and we'll have fun on Saturday, no doubt.
I hope so. Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it as well, Kirk. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time and expertise as always. Remember, folks, airtime on MSN Radio for the Saturday afternoon game, the top 25 showdown for WVU as they look to back up the unbelievable Oklahoma State victory on the road with one here at home against a really good UT team. It will be at high noon for the 1 o'clock blastoff. Plus, on the women's front, it's a massive victory for Mike Carey's team on the road at Norman the day after West Virginia was unable to get one at Lloyd Noble Center. WVU, as you probably know by now, had a two-game road swing wiped off the table. Kansas and Kansas State over a five-day stretch. They find out Friday morning, last Friday, that they're not going to KU, and in a matter of a few hours, they find out, okay, we're going to finagle the schedule here, and we're going to find out who our opponent's going to be for Sunday. Drew a game up in the dirt. WVU able to get on a plane on Saturday and play a contest in a very short turnaround, shotgun game, if you will, against Oklahoma, and come away with an 18-point victory. So Mike Carey's team feeling really good about themselves. That's a 6 p.m. blast off, airtime 5:45. So until then, stay safe. Keep it all straight, folks. I know it's really hard out there, and we'll put one foot in front of the other, as we usually do, and maybe use MSN Radio as your escape. We're happy to bring you the sounds and describe the sights. And until then, stay dialed in to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.